I'm pushed in 5 minutes. Whew.
Wait here. Christy and I will go up and take a look. Be back inside 20. You be okay on your own, Mildred?
Whew. I'm bushed, Ryan. Not totally senile. Maybe Christy should leave me her gun.
No. Ryan shook his head, smiling at the look of disappointment on her face. We'll get you a blaster as soon as we can. But we aren't directly threatened. The worst will be that they make you go back to the Ville. It's not killing time. Not yet.
A marmot scampered across their path as they neared the top of the climb. It was the only wildlife they'd seen, though there were old deer tracks everywhere. The trees thinned out, and they could see the silvery water of the lake stretching below them.
Quiet up here. Thought there'd have been more signs of fresh game.
The boy, Eric Stonebiter, told us that hunting was getting harder. Their fathers talked of hills that teemed with deer, and rivers that brimmed over with trout and salmon.
Could tie in with what Mildred suspects. Another good reason for moving on.
Ryan glanced around them.
Path leads over there toward that flat rock. We got time for a look.
Christy hesitated.
Something bad, lover. Something up there.
Danger?
No, not direct danger.
What then?
She reached out and touched him on the cheek with a long forefinger.
Better go and look.
On the far side of the high rock was a kind of natural amphitheater, the turf trodden flat by hundreds of feet. Ryan and Christy stood together, looking up at a block of granite that was about 10 feet long and 5 feet wide. The pale stone was streaked with glittering seams of quartz, and its flanks were heavily carved in ornate, swirling, interlocking patterns. A heavy ring of black iron on a short chain was inset at each corner. Long, thick stains of something black or dark brown had run down the sides of the rock that were exposed to them. The clotted streaks were unmistakably old blood. Neither Christy nor Ryan said a word. They turned away from the sacrificial altar and retraced their steps to where Mildred waited for them. The three companions succeeded in slipping back into the Ville without anyone having noticed their absence. Ryan passed the news of the hidden stone to JB, Jack, and Doc.
It had to have been blood. Had to be some kind of sacrifice. I figure it's just another reason to get clear of this place.
Doc was most concerned at hearing about the slab of hewn granite out on the hillside above the lake.
I agree we should make haste to depart from here, gentlemen. Primitive societies have all manner of unsuspected totems, and human sacrifice would not appear to be out of character here. We saw the symbolic burning of the three prisoners.
Tad more than symbolic, Doc. Looked like real fire to me.
John Barrymore, the deaths were real, but the use of the human-shaped wicker figures turned them into symbols. I have noticed, with some alarm, that Jack here appears to be some kind of totem person to the villagers. I think because of his very white hair and pale skin, several of the thralls make a detour to avoid walking through his shadow.
Doc paused and looked toward the doorway of their hut.
Of greater concern is that they clearly regard our new freezy companion, Mildred, as the dark side of the same coin. If anything goes wrong, I could imagine they might seek a scapegoat, and it might be Mildred.
I think we should make our move before something else goes awry, and we Outlanders are conveniently around to be blamed.
During that morning, 2 young children died in Markland. The screams began around noon and came from one of the huts near the forest. Ryan and the others were sitting outside enjoying the sunshine when Eric Stonebiter walked by, his face drawn with tension.
What's happening?
The Viking hesitated but didn't look at the albino teenager. He talked past him toward the lake, his eyes flickering nervously.
It's the bloody flux again. The wise woman said Odin and Freya would punish us for taking in the... your dark woman... said ill would come from it.
Who's ill? Sounds like a woman screaming. Or a child.
2 Skraelings, little ones. Sons of Ragnar Lothbrok, who was kin to the ale-maker whose house this hut once was. The men often went off together with Ragnar's children. Harald would carry kegs of fresh spring water, and Ragnar would fish in the same river.
Ryan glanced at the armorer. 2 families Radsic and this common link. If the friends had had more time and far more desire, it would have been interesting to go along the coast and visit this strange and dangerous place for themselves.
What is wrong with them?
I said it was the flux. Their bowels run blood, and they vomit up everything they're given to eat. Both children have lost teeth, and their skin is covered in a dreadful rash.
Ryan had seen enough examples of rad poisoning around flaring hotspots to recognize the unmistakable symptoms.
Ken.
His words were interrupted by a tremor in the ground. The burning logs on the main village fire toppled in a fountain of exploding sparks. Ryan looked beyond the beach and saw that the surface of the lake was covered in fine ripples, as though a bowl of soup had been shaken by a careless hand. A black-backed gull that had been perching on top of the longhouse flew into the air, circled the bill once, then vanished toward the far west.
What? Fucking earthquake!
The hammer of Thor strikes at Earth, Mother. It happens 4 or 5 times every year. A few months ago, there was a bad trembling and some huts fell. This was small.
There was a brief aftershock, and then the earth was still again. The dogs stopped howling, and Markland slipped quickly back to normal, except for the thin screams of the sick children. Ryan recalled what he'd been about to say when the small quake had interrupted him.
Can we help the sick?
No. The wise woman is with them, and will do what can be done.
Burn a few chicken feathers and rub some pig fat on them. At least let Mildred see them. She's a qualified doctor, you know.
Leave it, Doc.
But if we can do some good, Ryan, my dear fellow, then surely we should...
Now, if Mildred looks and then they die, like Rad's sick kids most likely will, who gets the blame, Doc?
Point taken.
And she won't have much in the way of medicine.
Eric looked from face to face, carefully avoiding Jack's ruby eyes.
What is this Mildred? The black female?
You could call her that. But it's best your wise woman cares for the kids.
My baby!
One dead. Utter sinking. Go soon.
Jorund Toraldsen came out of the hut where the sick children were being tended and looked quickly around his steading. He spotted Ryan and the others and took a few steps in their direction. He hesitated, then continued on.
The older boy has gone to the gods, and his brother treads fast upon his heels.
I'm sorry.
Will the young whitehead look at the living boy? He can touch him and bring him his own blessing as the chosen one. Will he help our 6 graylings?
What's he say?
He wants you to go and cure the sick and raise the dead. Just a normal morning for a god.
Doc, keep that mouth under control, or better still, keep it shut.
Eric Stonebiter turned away, staring across the lake. The water, now placid and mirror calm, after the brief quake.
Things go ill here, Outlander. I am not one who will lay blame at your door, but I tell you this.
Stonebiter looked around to make sure nobody was close enough to overhear.
I fear that there are others who will. Many who will.
A noon meal wasn't brought to Ryan and his companions. They kept to their hut, making sure their weapons were primed and ready. Through the open door, they saw that the vill was almost deserted. There had been an outburst of keening from the women shortly after the death of the second child. Since then, the steading had been quiet. Everyone seemed to have retreated to their own homes. JB's Kron showed 1:30 in the afternoon.
I'll go and scout some food.
Why not? But we'll all go. Maybe get to Christy and Mildred. I don't like being separated from them. There's a real bad gut feeling about all this.
No. Baron and Christy and Freezy coming.
Jorund had a couple of the Vill elders with him. Christy and Mildred walked at his heels, followed by 6 kitchen thralls carrying bedding and cooking pots.
Looks like they are about to be moved in with us. I wonder whether that is a good omen or not.
It can never be good, Doc. Nothing good ever happens to us.
Doc's supposition was correct, and his concern was also confirmed. Jorund Toraldsen stood in their doorway, signaling everyone else to remain outside. His face was grim, and he was perspiring heavily, though the afternoon was cool.
Your women must come to stay with you. It has been decided. The wise woman has cast runes. The red thread and the rowan sprig tell a sad tale, Outlanders.
I was sorry to hear that 2 young children had died.
It was a sorry day that ever you came to the steading of Markland.
You guys had the sickness long before we came here.
I will not argue. It has been decided that you will remain here. None of you must leave this hut. But for the exercise of your bodily needs, Any attempt to depart from Markland will be looked upon as hard and treasonous.
For how long?
A day, two perhaps.
Ryan knew with total certainty that the tall Norseman was lying.
Then what?
JB glanced at Ryan, showing his own disbelief.
Then the wise woman will cast the runes again, and it may be that the light will come again.
The Baron turned away. Doc looked as if he were about to argue, but Ryan spotted him and quickly held a finger to his own lips. Doc shook his head in disgust. Jorund Thoroldsen paused, then turned back to them.
We give you back the black woman. It may be we shall have need of the white-haired boy. A small thing only.
Then he was gone, calling out orders to the thralls and gesturing Mildred and Christy to join their friends. Only when the six companions were left alone did they talk, and the talk was brief. Ryan told the women what the Baron had said to them.
You know about that bloody altar up in the woods. We've all gotten the feeling that they regard Jack here as some kind of mysterious stranger god, and that Mildred is evil on the hoof.
I've been called worse.
Are you suggesting, my dear Ryan, that these Viking throwbacks might somehow wish to sacrifice this lady to their pagan gods and use young Jack here as their chosen instrument on Earth? Is that it?
Yeah, in a cartridge case, that's it.
So we go?
Yeah.
And that was the end of the discussion. The plan of escape took only a little longer.